The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. It's Find Your Phone Friday. Join the conversation at 770-563-3770-KMED. My email, Bill, at BillMyersShow.com. Appreciate you waking up here. We're going to talk with Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government, and some breaking national news that just came across the system here. Judge Scott McAfee ended up issuing an order today. This is in the Trump-Georgia trial, you know, the Georgia trial here. And then there was the whole situation with Fannie Willis, the district attorney there, and special prosecutor Nathan Wade. They had this long-term romantic relationship. You remember, big scandal. And they were caught lying about it in court. And so the way that it has come down is that the judge says that either Fannie Willis or Wade must leave the case. So they're going to allow the case to go move forward, but one or the other has to take off. And that they say that Wade definitely compromised the case. So that's a developing story at this point. How it moves forward, we don't know, but that is the latest on that. If you've been wondering, they did announce that they were going to make an announcement on this today. All right. And so we could talk about that if you wish at 770-5633. But my gosh, there were so many Trump cases, although he has been winning some good decisions as of late. We'll talk with Rick about that after the 6:30 news, okay? Every now and then you see a story that that crosses the web and you're taking a look at this and someone gives it to you. And I take a look at this, and this is one of those stories that that just astounds me. And it kind of tells you everything you need to know about what is going on. This is from National Defense Magazine. National Defense Magazine reporting this morning, DIU wants to cure services electric vehicle range anxiety. Dateline Falls Church, Virginia. On the road to full tactical vehicle electrification, one obstacle looms above the rest: the impracticality of deploying charging stations large enough to fuel up a big combat vehicle fast and get it back in the fight. So that's where we find ourselves right now, right? We've talked about this before. There are people that are driving Teslas and various other electric vehicles that have the same thing, all right? How do you get fueled up and back on the road right away? Now, National Defense Magazine reports that the Pentagon's Defense Innovation Unit wants to build a stopgap solution. What is this stopgap solution to having an electric tank, let's say, that runs out of juice? A tactical range extender enhancer. Okay. So can you imagine what the tactical range extender enhancer that the Pentagon's Defense Innovation Unit wants to put out bids for? You know what this is? To recharge the Humvee-type things or the tanks and all the other tactical vehicles out there that are going to be running on electricity in the gangrene military future. It's fueled by jet fuel. It's a generator with a turbine engine on it that you put jet fuel into, and then it creates all this high voltage DC power, direct current power, and then you plug it into the tank to give them a rapid charge, either stationary or on the go. Now, remember, the whole idea of going to this all-electric military is, well, you know, climate change is the number one existential threat of the world, not people who want to blow up the United States. You know, we know that. So the whole idea is by 2050 to take every single vehicle in the military and convert it to an EV. And this includes tanks and Jeep type things, light tactical, heavy tactical. Everything that is run on fuel, on regular conventional fuel right now, is supposed to be converted to batteries. And it's the same problem like everything. How do you get them charged up right away? And so the Pentagon says, all right, well, all we need to do is have these high-voltage direct current power generators, and you pour jet fuel into it, and then you charge up the electric tank. Kind of leads to the obvious question. Why don't you just use the jet fuel to power the tank? And then you don't have to worry about range anxiety. You can fill it up in 30 seconds or maybe a minute. But no, they're going to spend hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars on this potential petition here, or this they're petitioning, you know, the defense people to come up with something. And what they're saying, Higler's the guy behind this, he says, whether it's a fossil-fueled power generator that can charge the batteries or whether it's literally a motor that straps on if they run out of charge, they can still get to wherever they need to go, Higler said. How much these motors or generators will need to push it out of vehicle range to meet DIU's criteria has not been specified. Range extenders, which have been around as long as the commercial concept for more than two decades, and has backstop generators kicking in to provide power when the vehicle battery is dead. Defense contractors have already begun promoting military concept vehicles, including range extending or enhancing technology. They're all going to be electric. They're all going to be electric, and then they have a diesel or jet fuel powered generator behind it or backing it up. If you think that makes sense rather than just fueling the vehicles directly, you know, you couldn't have just a few diesel cans of diesel or jet fuel that you have, at the front lines. You can't do that. That's so old school. You have to have a multi-million dollar jet fuel powered generator. And that, my friend, indicates the type of people who are running the United States of America. As my friend Russ would call them, rather. Russ is the one I first heard this term, three-fingered idiot. You know, there we go. But that's it. Yeah, we wouldn't want, because of carbon, we have to run it on electricity. But, we still have to be able to go up there and make the tank move across the battlefield. And so we'll have a fossil fuel powered generator. Okay. It's 19 after 6. How's your morning going, huh? I feel so much more confident about the military. Really, I do. Along with generals in the Marines yelling at recruits, "Did you call me sir? Are you misgendering me?" As a local individual was telling me about in his family. Things are fine. This will be fine. This is the Bill Myers Show.
There's a lot of places where the chicken fried steak is overrated. Diner 62 is not one of those places.
Is your business or personal tax return under IRS audit? Tell the IRS First Response Resolution has got it. First Response Resolution in Eagle Point, your local tax resolution experts. Visit firstresponseirs.com and talk to Zach in Eagle Point. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer.
If you have an Alexa device, you can listen to great news and talk anytime by first asking Alexa, enable KMED. After enabling the skill, you can listen to the most popular talk personalities like Bill Maher and Lars Larson, plus local news and weather 24 hours a day by just asking her to play KMED. Alexa streaming on KMED is made possible by Megan McPherson at Farmers Insurance, Father and Son Jewelry, Violets and Cream, and Pacific Healthcare Training.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hi, I'm Jim with the Beauty Mark Salon and Glitter Bar, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
The promise I made to my grandmother 20 years ago, to create a place that feels like home, with great food and caring people, and a really nice yard, continues today in Medford. The Springs Living was a dream that was created for my family, and we're still here today to make life just a little bit easier for yours.
This Springs at Anna Maria in Medford. Call 541-774-1822.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. And this is the Bill Myers Show.
770-5633. It is Find Your Phone Friday. By the way, the Facebook Live had to end. I'm going to have to do a little tech work on it. For some reason, the iPad decided that runs the Facebook Live decided that it's time for a software update. And it now needs to be activated. And you have to come up with all the different passwords. There are times I just want to strangle high-tech developers. Same kind of high-tech developers that are saying that, you know, what we need is electric vehicles in the military. Everything needs to go to batteries. We need batteries there, battery-powered tanks, big, heavy tanks with big, heavy batteries, and a big fossil fuel generator around to charge it on the battlefield. But that's okay. We're reducing our carbon footprint in the military because the carbon footprint is the most existential threat on the planet. Of course, nobody explains why the planet got warm with CO2 increases all the other times in history. It used to be just called, well, the weather and the climate changes. But that's all right. That's all right. This is going to work well. All right, 770-5633, what is on your mind? You can take it away. Hi, who's this? Welcome.
Yeah, on that last subject, this is Ron Grass Pass.
Yeah, Ron.
I think that, yeah, they need to fly in some green flags with the word peace on it and drop that over the area along with leaflets that say, time out, we have to recharge our battery. Oh, wait a minute, we can't do that because these same generators require fuel. And geez, they could get fuel for the generator. Why can't they just drop in fuel for the people in the tanks and the trucks and so forth?
But you see, you're thinking obviously and logically, you know, you're not thinking like a defense contractor that says, you know, there are billions of dollars on the table to be made here because you have absolute idiots running the country that are thinking that that an electric tank that is fueled by a fossil fuel generator that is recharged by that is somehow morally superior to just a fossil fueled powered tank, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah, I wonder if those tanks and other vehicles are protected against EMP, which would wipe out anything and everybody. So it doesn't matter whether they provide them with a generator or fuel or anything, right?
Well, to be on the fair side, to be fair about the military, they do EMP harden their equipment for such matters because, yeah, it's designed. They kind of figured that part out. Okay, Ron, they figured out, but they haven't figured out the part that it's kind of stupid to spend billions of dollars to come up with a jet-fueled power generator to recharge the electric tank.
Yeah, but, Bill, they could come up also with a drag queen show and just wipe out the enemy. They just sit there and laugh their heads off. And don't forget the high heels and tutus and things like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sure that the Chinese military, if they ever come after us at some point, go, oh, no, Yankee boys, they're dancing drag queen story time out. We must run. You know, and then they go back home. All right. The absurdity of it all, huh? Let me go to line two. Hi, KMED, KCMD. Good morning. Hello.
Morning, Bill.
Hi, who's this?
This is Steve in Sunny Valley.
Hey, Steve. What's on your mind today in Sunny Valley?
Well, I think that there is some advantage to an electric motor in a tank, and that is maximum torque at zero RPM. So we'll get them up and moving, but I think they should do it like they do trains. Have a big diesel generator built right on.
Oh, okay. So in other words, maybe a hybrid tank is what you're thinking, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like Toyota Prius, except with the... Because that way, yeah, you would have the maximum torque available. Now, see, hybrid is actually the best of all worlds, as far as I'm concerned. It makes a lot of sense. You have a relatively small battery that you can use for instantaneous torque and, you know, when you need that. But and you could still reduce your overall fuel consumption a bit. It is a bit more...
We didn't have any batteries on those locomotives.
When you were working for SP, right, or Union Pacific, if I recall?
Union Pacific, yeah.
Union Pacific. Well, you know, though, they're trying to get big battery-powered locomotives in right now. That tends to be the big trend from what I'm reading. Because you know me, I'm a foamer. I admitted that, right?
Well,
subscribe to Trains Magazine. So, you know, there it is. Every month it comes in and...
They figured that out a long time ago. You run the electricity through the rails.
Uh-huh.
And that way you don't need a battery.
Well, they're going for battery-powered locomotives right now, too, except most of them are they're being used in switching and yard work is what they want to do. Use it for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there is a big cloud of diesel smoke over Roseville, I have to admit it.
Yeah, right. Indeed. Hey, thanks for the call, Steve. Appreciate that. 770-5633-626. We're talking about the battery-powered military. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. Tom here. Hey, Tom. EB tanks is so over-the-top stupid that I don't think you can attribute it just to stupidity. To me, it's a sabotage.
Oh.
You look at that and you think about the COVID shots that have been given to over 90% of the military, and the fact that the reports on myocarditis are up 900%, and people who got the Freedom of Information Act on myocarditis got the complete report completely blotted out, and so forth. So I don't think it's stupidity. I think our country is under attack. It's coming from the highest levels.
And you're thinking this is just part of the plan. This is how you just take down a nation internally.
Exactly. Yeah, I do. And all the indications I see with the wide open borders and the national Chinese nationals pouring in and so forth, I think we're being set up. I think the powers that be, the World Economic Forum and so forth, that we're being set up for defeat in World War III.
Yeah. Well, maybe you're right about that, Tom. Maybe you're right. Yeah, because I was just talking. Like I said, that article just stuck out at me this morning, you know, saying that, hey, we're looking for bids for the, you know, generator to power the electric vehicle tank, you know, the electric tanks out there and everything else. And you're thinking, wait a minute, that makes no absolute sense, you know, unless you're trying to make your military more expensive yet less effective, because it takes money away from other more useful pursuits within the military. But then, you know, and maybe you're right. Maybe it is that breakdown from inside, because there's a Fox News story. I don't know if you caught this, but West Point has updated its mission statement. Now, you know West Point, right, where the elite military come from.
What's up?
The U.S. Military Academy at West Point has made the decision to remove duty, honor, and country motto from its mission statement. Now, I don't know why they would remove it in the first place, but officials stressed that the phrase would remain West Point's motto, however, and that the mission statement has changed on a regular basis. This new mission statement is West Point's 10th since 1925. Duty, honor, country hasn't been included as part of the statement until 1998. And this was a letter sent to students. This is on Fox News, by the way. In a letter sent to students and supporters, Superintendent Lieutenant General Steve Gillen said the phrase would be replaced in the mission statement with the words Army values. What do you think that is? That, you know, Army values sounds really thin gruelish, doesn't it?
Well, it's so nebulous, obviously. So yeah, well, it just kinda confirms what I'm saying. I just see it on the level. I mean, we're being taken down financially. Yeah. Militarily, government-wise, I mean, it's just there's a takedown going.
It sure looks that way. Thanks for the call, Tom. Yeah, a true story, absolute true story. They want to replace duty, honor, country with Army values. But Army values, well, what are Army values? Army values are whatever the Army says is the value at that time. You know, right now, like I said, according to that local family that's telling me about their son who resigned the commission in the military. After being yelled at for, you know, 20 minutes or so by a general who was upset at being misgendered. Looked like a biological male, but identified as a female. And Marine, are you misgendering me? You will only refer to me as my name, which I don't believe is part of the military code or the official way you're supposed to do things like that, but this is what happened. And, of course, the guy quit. He just said, no, I'm not going to go here. That would probably be considered an Army value, wouldn't it? Given that that is the value which is being supported right now. So you replace duty, honor, country with Army values, in which you can slide any Marxist-Leninist kind of point of view into it and call it the Army value. I guess that would fit. And that's over at West Point. The rot is deep within the system, no doubt about that. Can the next president change that, assuming President Trump? A high lift, isn't it? A lot to do. A lot of work ahead of us, for sure. 6:31, you're on the Bill Myers Show, KMED, KCMD.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your one-stop accessory and protection shop, offering quality products like Lydex spray-on bedliners, undercoating, and truck, Jeep, and SUV accessories. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is now your premier source for overlanding, off-road, and outdoor lifestyle products. So what are you waiting for? Stop on by and get prepared for your next adventure. They're located at 4840 Airway Drive, just off Vilas Road in Central Point. Oregon Trunk and Auto Authority. Your department of adventure.
News sponsored by Caveman Heating and Air. It's the climate and we control it. Call Caveman Heating and Air at 541-476-0009 or cavemanheating.com.
Good morning. I'm Marcus Villa with your NBC5 Morning News Update. The Oregon Transportation Commission unanimously approved changes for the South Medford I-5 ramp at Exit 27. The I-5 Exit 27 Interchange Area Management Plan aims to reduce interstate backups at the interchange. ODOT says the current southbound off-ramp poses a safety risk during peak commuting hours, with traffic even backing up onto the highway. Region 3 manager Darren Neville says they will now gear up to begin the first phase of this plan, which is expected to happen over the next few years. Billions of dollars remain to be claimed for Oregonians filing their 2023 tax returns. Portland NBC affiliate KGW says Oregon taxpayers have claimed nearly $1.6 billion for the record $5.61 billion revenue tax kicker this tax season. There's still 1 month to go before the April 15th filing deadline.
Hi, Rick. Doing just fine. We'll be right with you here in a minute or two.
And access a kicker calculator at the Oregon Department of Revenue's website. The Grants Pass Growers Market is moving outside this weekend. The market expects more vendors now that things are going outdoors. You can find it in the sunshine on Saturday from 9 a.m. until 1 on 4th and F Street behind the post office. That's a look at your morning headlines for NBC5 News. I'm Marcus Veal. Have a fantastic weekend and get some sun.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. Provided by Dish.
One of each Forte VIN 731586 MSRP 21710 3500 due Sportage VIN 185367 MSRP 3590 4499 due 10K miles per year zero security deposit all incentives and discounts to dealer plus tax title license 150 registration processing fee trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 3/31/24.
Making payments on a car you don't want to drive anymore? You need Kia Medford's payment wipeout. We're wiping out all the payments you have left on your old car so you can drive a new Kia, like a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS Automatic. Just $149 a month lease. Or a new 2024 Kia Sportage LX. Only $199 a month lease. Both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds. With no effect on your credit score. Get into a new Kia. Like Fortes, $149 a month. Sportages, $199 a month. During the payment wipeout at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Hi, it's Jason at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. Through April, purchase a set of four Cooper tires for practically whatever you drive, and you'll get a Visa reward card in the mail. Get $100 on top of the line Cooper Discover STT Pro Mud Terrains or Cobra Instincts for your sports car. Get $75 on five styles of all-terrain truck tires, including the popular AT3 XLT, and get $50 on three styles of all-season passenger tires, including Endeavor. Save on Cooper tires at Phoenix Auto Center. Center Tire Pros.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Meyer Show.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights because I don't want to see. I'm not talking, let's go.
The DC Swamp Update every Friday. Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government. You know, part of me is still thinking about changing to Stuck in the Middle with you, Rick, here. You know, clowns to the left of me and jokers to the right. But I know you like both songs.
I'm going to leave it to your discretion because it's a they're both apropos.
Yeah, it certainly.
It is a, you know, sometimes you got to go with some Steelers wheel over your three dog night.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Hey, Rick, I was going to touch in with you. I was talking about... You know, I don't talk about the military a whole lot, you know, on my show. There are just other things that I tend to be a little more knowledgeable about. I've not served
right.
In the military. And yet I had a local military family who was telling me about how one of their sons who had risen quite high within the service had quit, had resigned after being dressed down in front of people after a general went up to him and was a biological male. And the young man and addressed him as sir, and they said, "Are you?" And basically took 15, 20 minutes of incoming being yelled at in front of everybody about, "Are you misgendering me? And why, you know, how dare you? And you will refer to me by my name, et cetera, et cetera." And you see a story like that, you're thinking, okay, it's just one guy, but you're realizing that the military is actually under big, big attack, and Marxism has taken over a lot of that. And I see that West Point updates their mission statement, removing duty, honor, country, replacing it with Army values. But what are those values? Because, you know, according to the young man who just quit the military, what that general did to him would be, you know, the Army values. Is this much that gets talked about in D.C.? I know you talk to a lot of people within the swamp all the time. Are they speaking about this openly, or is it just, you know, a phase they think things are going through? Any thoughts? I just thought I'd ask you if you had any contact with that.
Yeah, that's a great question. I know that some of my friends are extremely concerned about the culture change. You know, it's a battle that was fought when, truthfully, during the Trump administration, when James Mattis was the Secretary of Defense. And he was one of the leading proponents of transgenders in the military and the like. And it was, and the Trump White House and Mattis fought a lot over it. And this whole transformation, truthfully, the Trump White House, you know, didn't win that battle. They never found the right people to run the defense side of things, or the national security side of things. Once they got rid of Flynn very early, John Fleming was good. It's something that's talked about. But I will tell you, it's one of the challenges is the people who really care about are now focused on existential issues like the World Health Organization treaty that Biden is negotiating, that's going to be finalized here in about 11 weeks. That is that throws away our sovereignty almost across the board. To the World Health Organization.
That's essentially a takedown. And is this going to be voted on by the Senate? Because it should be if it is a treaty, is it not?
Well, you know, remember when Obama did the treaty with Iran, and that was supposed to be, you know, to stop Iran from becoming a nuclear power. Mm-hmm. And the Senate never voted on that as a treaty. They voted on it as an agreement. And Biden's attempting to do this as an executive agreement and not as a treaty.
How can we then, how can we consider that?
The big fights here in D.C. that's kind of undercover is this fight to try to force that to be a treaty. For people who are unaware, but I want to talk about who, but from an answer to your question, a lot of the people who normally would be raising hell about this have been for years, and the Army changing the motto or credo or whatever it is at West Point towards Army values, which are not definable, which are fungible depending upon who's the head of the Army, and making it non-distinct. And oh, by the way, also something which has nothing to do with our country. Like the Army is a standalone mechanism, not a functioning defense device for our country, is fundamental to the breaking of our military and the breaking of the ability to get people to join the military. The failure. So just remember, I want to talk about who, but the Army can't meet its recruitment goals. The volunteer army cannot meet its recruitment goals. Why? Because of exactly what you just said related to someone who is Army through and through quitting because culture change is more important than the Army. Social justice issues are more important than the Army than getting ready, preparing to defend the country and die for this country.
Yeah. I wanted to add that this young man,
want your friend's son and everyone like him to quit. They don't want people in the Army who believe in duty country. They want people in the Army who believe in values as defined by what's ever popular in Washington, D.C. Because the Army that's defined by values is controllable, and the Army that's defined by duty and honor is not.
Hmm. Interesting you bring this up. I wanted to add that this young man, even though he said, hey, I quit, I'm resigning my position, I'm sure he'll probably go to work at a big contractor in some way, because he's got skills. Yeah, he's got skills. You know, he really does.
Well, yeah, but remember, to go to work for a big contractor, you have to be tight with the Pentagon.
That's true too. Well, they offered him, this is secondhand here, Rick. They offered him more than $200,000 to stay. That's how, you know, they were, and they say, hey, we'll give you a promotion. And he just said, no, I can't do this, you know, because the culture is too broken, that kind of thing. And yet, there's another story that I was talking about, which I opened up with, and it had to do with the defense industry or the defense innovation unit, which is looking for bids and trying to get companies involved to come up with ways to generate electricity on the go to charge the electric tanks and the electric Jeeps or Humvees or whatever it is in the future military here. And what they're asking for is designs on using a jet engine powered turbine generator that is filled with jet fuel. Now, you tell me how that makes sense to so-called decarbonize the battlefield, right, with electric vehicles everywhere. And then you have a fossil fuel generator, jet fuel, charging them up on the field. Is that not astounding?
So you still need fuel depots and the like.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something because I don't know the physical functioning of a electric tank. Uh-huh. Except for to know that if it runs out of juice, you can't throw an extension cord out there. But it seems to me if you're switching to electric tanks or electric companies for the purpose of having an engine that is able to run faster, is able to drive a tank to go zero, you know, whatever the max speed is, faster.
Yeah.
Electric vehicles go, you know, 0 to 60 in the split, you know, very, very short period of time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That instant torque available.
Combustion driven vehicles. So if it's a function of being able to make a vehicle that is more, is able to strike faster and is more capable in the battlefield, then burn the fuel to provide the electricity to make a more capable tank. But if it's because you want to sit there and say, if it's just, you know, virtue signaling with no actual value in the battlefield, that's stupid. That is the meme where, you know, you have the coal-fired power plant in the background with electric cords all set out to fuel an electric, you know, a car. Yeah. It's just dumb. But once again, I can't totally dismiss the idea that electric vehicles have certain capabilities, and you're a car guy, you know this, mm-hmm. Have certain capabilities that are better than internal combustion. But we both know the reason they're doing it isn't the capabilities, it's the desire to engage in a woke military, and which is dangerous. So
yeah, I guess you'd have some recruit that would say, I don't want to drive that fossil fuel powered tank. I don't want to drive that fossil fuel powered tank. It's killing the planet. You know, as you're going out kill the Houthis.
Killing the planet. Not to get too far astray, but I saw this documentary about right after October 7, and it featured four two tanks that were being driven by all-female crews. And they were and they kind of came and saved the day in a couple of the kibbutzes. And it was a, and they were making a big deal because it's all female crews. And they're like, you know, this is no big deal. This is what we're trained to do. But one of the drivers was talking and talking about how they're running really fast between kibbutzes. And someone from who was trying to delay them got in the way. And they just ran them over. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it was just cold blooded. Yeah, we just ran them over. And it was a it was somebody who was one of the Palestinian invaders. And it was a and it was so cold blooded, and it just stuck with me because those people who are in tanks, they're in a hurry to get somewhere, and they're not really worried too much about running over a precious flower, mm-hmm. let alone a person. If they got an assignment they got to get to and you get in the way, you better get out of the way because you've got some tire treads running over your head. So that's a – and these were just – this was the most cold-blooded thing I ever saw. And the interviewer asked again and just kind of taken aback. So I guess the overall point is people driving the tanks don't really care if they run over an endangered species.
Yeah, well, one would hope so, all right? It's Rick Manning, president of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. And did you hear about the Fonnie Willis decision this morning? Did you hear about what the judge had to say?
I did.
Yeah. What's your overall impression of that? So I guess either Fonnie or Wade has to leave. One or the other has to go, right?
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting decision by the judge, who clearly he's up for election, and he clearly does not want to have the case removed from his court and have the case dropped, which would be the probable impact if he ruled that she had engaged in receiving improper payments out of this case. So he's trying to split the baby by saying, you know, I'm not going to pay any attention to what you've done in the past, but you have to not do it in the future, and which is ignoring the fact that they both lied to the court on multiple times. It's ignoring the fact that they encouraged and coerced others to lie to the court on their behalf. He's finding them guilty without having any accountability for lying to the court, and violating the law, for that matter, on her benefiting directly from a case she was prosecuting. So it's a decision that basically acknowledges that she's guilty without having any repercussions for her being guilty.
In other words, we're still trying to run political cover.
In other words, he's running for office in Fulton County, and he can't throw her off the case because he'll lose election as a judge in Fulton County. Welcome to the world where we elect judges, and they have to worry about high profile cases. It's more important they can't actually follow the law.
What are we looking at here? Let's go to electoral politics here for a little bit, besides just the Trump case. Would you agree that probably the most serious case coming up against President Trump is the documents case? Is that the one that probably has the most meat from the folks you talk to?
No, I'm more worried about the cases in D.C.
Really?
By a lot. Because the documents case, they're... Ultimately, the Supreme Court's going to have to make a decision. Does the President of the United States have the right to have, to declassify documents? And the President of the United States does have the right to declassify documents. The whole power to of classification is an executive branch power. And unless they've decided that the President's no longer the head of the executive branch, and some bureaucrat, somewhere in the FBI or in the Department of Justice is actually the head of the executive branch. Don't think anybody's decided that lately. Basically, there's really nothing he did that was actually illegal. So there's some nuances that are tough in it. But the bottom line is he had a right to declassify documents.
Okay.
When he said, take those documents to Mar-a-Lago, He declassified them. The fact that he was negotiating with the National Archives over what documents should be returned and what documents shouldn't be returned is perfectly normal for presidents to be doing after the fact in a presidential administration. The fact that the Archives Department did not send somebody to help do the archiving before he left office, whereas normally that happens about 4 weeks before before they leave office, somebody comes, they help do the work, paperwork. They say, this needs to go to the archives, this needs to go over here. In fact, the National Archives didn't do their job by having somebody at the White House helping make that decision. You cannot blame the president for sending stuff from the office when the National Archives didn't object in real time. So, yeah, there was a natural discussion, which happens with every presidency. And, you know, once again, it's a compare and contrast. But if Donald Trump is guilty of the classified documents, by the way, presidents, former presidents have top secret clearance. So they are allowed to have those classified documents and see them, unlike Joe Biden. And the reason they have top secret classification is because the law wants current presidents to be able to reach out to former presidents who've been in the same situations, who face the same pressures, who understand the variables, to ask their opinion and have those presidents be able to give their opinion, to look at the data and give their opinion. So that's actually a way to keep the president from going nuts, because they're the only one who can have an opinion on something. Nobody else can even have all the facts. So that is that's part of the law. It's part of the way we do things, and the case is garbage.
Okay.
So I'm not worried about that case. Plus, we got a decent judge.
I guess I was just looking at what the penalties were in that. I wanted to talk about something else which set D.C. on fire this week over the last couple of weeks. It had to do with the TikTok bill. Of course, 50-0 gets passed out of committee, and then the House ends up passing a bill that gives ByteDance a number of months to divest itself of Chinese ownership here. And I guess, essentially, though, I don't have a TikTok account. I will not have a TikTok account. I don't know if you will, because I just looked at it as a Chinese spy app. Does Congress actually have the power to do what it's actually claiming it has the power to do? Can it actually force that divestiture? I don't know if I'm saying that right. But
Congress, under antitrust laws, forced, I guess, the Reagan administration, mm-hmm. But Congress certainly could have done it, forced the breakup of AT&T. So Congress, we've got some precedent of the federal government forcing divestiture in the past under the CFIUS law, which is allows review of all technology transfers between U.S. and foreign countries. If a U.S. tech company is purchased by somebody else, by another country, it's reviewed by a group of cabinet officials for whether or not it can be allowed. The last time I know that it was actually implemented to stop something was when Qualcomm was proposed to be sold to Broadcom, who is operating as a front for the Chinese. Mm-hmm. And the president of the United States, actually, Trump, actually weighed in and said, no, we're not going to allow this sale to occur, because Qualcomm is the chip innovator, which is keeping U.S. chip production ahead of Huawei. And so there's national security concerns. And they overrode the board decision by Qualcomm to sell the company. So those are, I think the federal government and national security mm-hmm. environment does have a lot of leeway to do that. The question, and this is where we've come kind of looked at this, and it's really one of those hard, things are always much more nuanced than people want them to be. Nothing's ever as easy as you'd like. But in looking at this, it is in the same week that they're busily trying to ban a platform because they don't like the content manipulation on the platform, and they don't like the fact that the Chinese are gathering a bunch of data off of people. At the same time they did that, they also passed the spending bill that was signed into law by the president, which stripped away every single protection that had been built into those particular appropriations bills to stop censorship. And so we ended up with, you know, they say, well, gee, you know, the argument on the on Qualcomm by the intelligence agencies is, trust us, bad stuff's going on here. Trust us, we have to, you know, and trust us with the power to essentially shut down a platform because we deem it to be a tool of a foreign entity. They want us to trust them with that when they won't provide allow for any of the repercussions for when they've proved to not be trustworthy.
And yeah. You know, in other words, we're still funding the censorship regime is what we're doing.
Well, not only funding it,
expanding it.
We're not only funding it. They are affirmatively, with the TikTok bill, they're affirmatively giving it more power. Okay. And that's the challenge here. You know, don't come to me and say, trust me, I can be trusted. I won't abuse this power. By the way, the power vested in a president who just got off the State of the Union saying that there's two Americas and that he's at war with people who are his political opponents, who's put his political opponents in jail for the last 3 years and continues to, including Peter Navarro, who's going to end up going to jail very rapidly here. It's a high-ranking Trump administration official in the White House. So don't tell me to don't ask me to trust Joe Biden with more power when we see how he exercises the power he has.
So, I know that, Rick.
I'm opposed to it for that very reason.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about this, too, because anytime I see Congress, you know, as much as I, you know, sometimes I get irritated when I see some of the division in government, when I see them all line up all of a sudden like lemmings and go, yes, 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 then I really get scared. Normally, you know, I really get scared.
Well, there's good reason, because the only time they do that is when there's a big intel push behind something, and it supersedes every, you know, all the normal back and forth. And while people say, gee, it's really good they can come together, I'll remind everybody that when Donald Trump was president, he expressed the exact same concerns about TikTok. Exact same concerns. Now, this was before we knew everything that had been done to violate our civil liberties over the last 4 or 5 years. But he expressed the same concerns. And all the Democrats in Congress said, no, 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 it's not. We don't want to do anything. So now they're all on board. And I am.
And then you have President Trump now who is backed away from this because
give away this power.
OK, now I just want to interject here, Rick. President Trump has actually flipped on this, and now he's against this TikTok thing because, of course, one of his biggest fundraisers right now, I think, is a major shareholder, right?
I heard it was for another reason, but you know, I'm not sure about the fundraiser shareholder part. I know Mnuchin is his former Secretary of Treasury is saying he'll buy it. That may play a role, but which would take TikTok out from under the threat of being shut down. I don't know what Trump's thinking is on it. I know this. I know that in some respects, what Trump doesn't want politically is for Biden to get to the right of him in terms of being tough on China. And in a lot of respects, the Democrats are pushing this bill to put Trump in the position of either having to say, make a complex argument like I made, or to make a one line argument, China bad, we had to do this. And it's and so a lot of times, you know, this is about trying to stop an attack ad about Trump being in bed with Xi from being able to be run by Biden. So there's a lot of reasons why Trump might have changed. And quite honestly, the thing's pretty, they're, like I say, it's pretty nuanced. And I haven't seen exactly what he said, but I could support this bill if it had real prohibitions against abuse. It had real definitions in terms of what was actually the criteria for expanding it. But when we looked at it, you know, this bill could be used to shut down Truth Social. This bill could be used, certainly we saw the intelligence agencies work with Amazon Web Services and the FBI and others, and I guess it was Apple and Google, to shut down Parler back in the day, never recovered. So we know that these guys will abuse this power against conservative platforms.
And we have handed them more tools. And we hand them another tool if the Senate is going to do this. Now, is the Senate in favor of this bill? Do we know? Have they been counting noses yet?
Right. Well, anytime you pass something 50-0 in an Energy and Commerce Committee in the House, it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
There's beginning in the Senate to have some people express some concerns. And there's a pretty big lobbying push by TikTok to stop the sale. But, the fact of the matter is they're pretty unsavory guys too.
Yeah.
So you're sitting there, and if you just to be, the way DC works, if you take money from TikTok, you're taking money from China.
Yeah.
And so which then puts your organization in the crosshairs of the bill if it should pass. So it's it's one of those things where you can have a absolute valid civil liberties concern, but you can't monetize to go off and try to make that a broader campaign with ads on radio and stuff like that costs money.
Yeah.
You can't do that because the people who would fund it are people who then, win or lose, you're going to end up in this FBI purgatory where everything you do is being surveilled.
And then you're going to end up like Peter Navarro. But that's I think where TikTok, I think, may have made a mistake in this particular case is when they started pushing notifications to their users, to call Congress. And then you have these teenagers calling up, crying that they'd commit suicide if TikTok went away. It's almost like making the case. TikTok made the case for its own destruction, really, with Congress.
They would have been far smarter to go to their influencer network, which many of them have become TikTok millionaires, and have the influencer network contact Congress as entrepreneurs who have been entertainers, modern day entertainers, and done that rather than the broader approach that they took, which emphasized just how damaging TikTok has been to the psyche of many Americans.
Very good. Rick Manning, president of Americans for Limited Government. Read up on a whole bunch of news and opinion and analysis on DailyTorch.com. DailyTorch.com. Rick, like I said, it was kind of noodling around a whole lot of swampy issues this week. I appreciate the take, and we'll talk next Friday. Okay, thanks again.
Not a problem. It's always fun getting to stretch my brain with like 6 or 7 issues.
I like that, too. I really do. I enjoy it. Thanks, Rick.